Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, a broker here at Daniels Trading. You can find out more about me on my website, turnerstake.com, which is deals a lot with the spec ideas we have. And then for farmers, when we talk about our hedging plans and marketing plans, turnerstakeag.com. I work with speculators and hedgers, broker-assisted clients. We have a fantastic online platform, DT Pro, which also works on tablets and also on your smartphone. And one of our more popular categories is the hybrid, which is a mix of both. So if you're interested in us, you need help with your trading, or just looking for a good technology, or you like our newsletters, let us know. Happy to talk to you anytime. All my contact information is in those notes. So we've got a short week. Easter is on Sunday. Friday is Good Friday. Markets will be closed. So here we are, Wednesday. We're doing this from the trade desk, and in about 28 hours from now, markets will be closed for the rest of the weekend. So let's talk about a couple things. As always, we're going to get started on the macro markets. First point of, first good news that came out is the U.S. trade deficit was down about 20-something percent. A lot of that had to do with the U.S.-China. Those tariffs do have an effect on the trade deficit, and it has shown that the United States is closing the gap on the trade deficit, so that's been nice to see. We've seen a couple other indicators, with exports increasing on the economy, and it's led to some of the bigger companies or analysts that have said, hey, we have growth below 2%. We're going to inch it up to 2%. I think one of the big investment banks, which had Q1 growth projections at 2% annualized, raised it up to 2.5%. So we're expecting, when the government reports came out, GDP for Q1 is going to be somewhere between 2 and 2.5%, which is better than we had thought. It was better than we were feared. Even a couple of months ago, or even back to a few weeks ago. That's why the S&P and the stock market's been rallying, or one of the reasons. And you'd have to think, if you get 2 to 2.5% growth, you would think the stock market would continue to rally. I mean, it wouldn't go, through the roof gangbusters, but the slow grind higher could, with numbers like that, you would think you get the slow grind higher. Which, by the way, I do like the S&P. I know it's kind of high, but I'll get to that in a little bit. But it's one of the I've been putting my toe back in the stock market here, and using the futures is really the most efficient way to do it, in my opinion. And I'll go over that in a little bit. The other big macro news was the Fed. One of the Fed members came out and basically said he would be okay if interest rates, were steady until the fall of 2020. I mean, that's a year and a half. Now, he wasn't saying this is what the Fed's going to do, or in official capacity, but he was given an interview, and he did say, hypothetically, didn't think it would be a big deal, if we kept rates all the way out to the same way to fall 2020. That's going to be friendly. Basically, if it sounds like the Fed does recognize the economy went through a rough patch. Now, the Fed's job is not to make sure the stock market goes up. That's not its mandate. What the Fed is there to do is basically to help inflation and job growth and keep prices stable. The Fed's job is to help the economy, but not the stock market. And the way Congress has mandated, basically keeping price stability, I think is the official language, but that really means inflation. And that's why when you hear the Fed has a target rate of 2% inflation, to them that means more of, annually, that means some. To them, that's going to mean price stability, jobs growth. If unemployment's low, to the Fed, that means the economy is good too. And so they have that kind of economic, and they want to see strong economic readings. So that is really what the Fed's role is. I would think then, if they think this is a critical time for the economy and they just want to keep things stable, wouldn't be surprised if that's what they do. I don't think they'll ease, but I don't think they'll tighten. And that'll be good for the overall economy. It'll be good for, be nice to see inflation around 2%. And it'll also be good for GDP. So I've been looking at the E-mini S&P. What's interesting is there's going to be a micro S&P that's coming out soon. Hold on one second, please. All right, just had to answer the phone there real quick. So we've got a micro S&P coming out next month. What's interesting about that is a tenth of the size of the E-mini S&P. You may say to yourself, is that, you know, big enough to trade? It definitely is. Let's take a, so consider this. The S&P, let's say the S&P is trading at 2,900, which is where it is right around now. 2,900 times $50 a point. That's about, that's $145,000. So if you just bought one E-mini S&P, that's like going into the stock market and buying 145,000 shares, right? 145,000 shares of the E-mini S&P, which would be quite a lot, right, for a single purchase. But the S&P has really grown. You know, when the S&P, even the S&P was introduced, and I want to say it was in the mid to late 90s, the S&P was like 600, 700, 800. I mean, 700 times 50, you know, it's about a $35,000 contract. Right now, it's almost a $150,000 contract. So it's, you know, it's not as easy to trade as it used to be. It's not definitely not as easy as to hold it overnight. The contract's just so big for a lot of traders out there and investors. So what's nice about the micro, which we're expecting to get a lot of traction here, you know, let's say the S&P is around, you know, 2,900. Instead of it being $50 a point, it's $5 a point. And all of a sudden, that S&P contract is now worth around $15,000 of the S&P 500, or the spider, as some people call it. So that's a little bit easier to trade when you're trading in units of $15,000. Now, the margin on it's going to be probably only like 500 overnight or 600 overnight. And if there's a day margin on it, it's probably just going to be $100 or something like that. If I actually, I'm going to take that back. I have not seen what the pros day margins are going to be on the micros, even if they have it. We'll see what the clearing firms and the brokers decide if they want the micro S&P day traded like the E-mini S&P. But if they do, you know what, if the overnight margin for the S&P E-mini is 6,000 and then the micro 600, you know, at the bare minimum it'd be like a 250 or three, you know, maximum would be 250 or 300 day margin on the micro. But what I really think the big thing the micro does for you is basically allows you to kind of to build positions in the stock market and have a very efficient use of capital to do it. So as we go forward here, I've always been kind of hesitant to be buying and selling the S&P in the newsletter and the podcast, just because if I'm taking a swing trading to position trading, you know, it's a big moves. It's big moves in the E-mini S&P to hold overnight. That's not going to be the case anymore. So I like the E-mini, I like the S&P here. I like building small positions in it as we go higher. I think there is some good signs for the economy. We will have a pullback, and when we have that pullback, which doesn't have to be big, I'm going to be looking to get in, and then hopefully that micro contract will be available. Because if we have 2 to 2.5% GDP growth for the rest of the year, and the Fed is true, you know, if the Fed doesn't raise interest rates or, you know, tighten between now and fall 2020, and we get a trade deal with China and working on a trade deal with Japan, that should be positive. That should be positive. I'm not saying we're going, you know, crazy bull market, but I do think the slow grind higher keeps on going with the stock market. So I kind of like that for diversification while we're doing our thing in the other commodity markets. So we will keep you updated on that. Follow Turner's Take Market Alert and end the podcast. And I will, and yeah, I'm very excited about that micro contract. Just going to be easier. Just going to be a whole lot easier to trade in terms of total contract value. I know a lot of people don't think about total contract value a lot. They always think about margin and how much something can move. But when I look at like corn, and corn's at $4 and it's 5,000 bushel contract, my mind, that's $20,000 of corn. Now, the exchange may say you only need $1,000 for the margin. So $1,000, you know, each penny in corn is 50 bucks. So 1,000 divided by 50 is 20. So it's 20 cents. So the exchange is basically say, hey, you want to own $4 corn or sell $4 corn? You got to have 20 cents down, right? That's your margin, which, you know, and that's the minimum. That's the minimum. I wouldn't recommend margin. Is not the recommended use of capital. Margin is the amount of capital you need before the exchange thinks you're at risk of blowing out your account. So I always like the double or triple margin if I'm swing or position trading. You know, for day traders, obviously, that'd be different because you're in and out by the close anyways. Anyways, so I like that. I like having the option of the micro because if you're, you know, I mean, if you, you know, if you only have like a $10,000 futures trading account, it's very difficult to hold the S&P, you know, as a position trade. I mean, you could do it, but it's just very difficult. But if you have the micro, it's a lot easier. Now, if you have a six or seven figure account, it doesn't matter, you know, and, you know, and I'm well aware of that also, but, you know, for someone who's dealing with more of a, you know, four figure instead of six and seven figure, the micro is actually really nice. So, I think that's going to be a positive development for a lot of people. In terms, okay, so that is our macro part. I want to now switch gears and get into the ag market. So, corn, soybeans, and wheat, we're going to have plenty of them. There's a lot, you know, as far as corn and soybeans go, plenty of soil moisture. Farmers will plant most of the corn and the soybeans. I can see acres coming down a million and soybeans going down, going up a million. Not going to be a big deal either way to ending stocks. You know, we're going to have plenty of corn in South America and plenty of soybeans in South America. We're going to have plenty of wheat all over the world. We'll have plenty of corn and soybeans and wheat in the United States. As far as demand drivers go, at higher energy prices will be beneficial to the ethanol part of the equation for corn and biodiesel for soybeans. However, the feed aspect is going to be an issue. And really has to do with China. Like, all those hogs are not going to be fed. We're going to lose all that feed demand. And even if the feed demand doesn't come from the United States, it'll show up in the world stocks and probably even in U.S. stocks, because you got to think, if China is not buying, you know, meal, I mean, if China's not buying meal to feed, then why are they going to be buying soybeans from us? You know, if corn, if China does buy corn for sometimes, not from us, and if they don't need to go to outside markets from corn, you know, that means like traditional sellers around the world are going to have higher stocks, not good for us. That is, you know, we will see China basically try to feed other protein sources, so poultry and beef, you would think would increase that. You know, they'll try to ramp that up as best they can, but still net, we're going to probably see less feed use overall over the next 6 to 9 months. It's hard not to see that. It's probably one of the reasons why the funds are so short. When you think of the seed technology now and the farming practices, and you know, and just how big yields can get even with poor conditions, you got to think that that'd be a bearish, you know, influence too. So I am not, if you couldn't already tell, I am not that bullish on the grain markets. We will have rallies. You know, the funds are record short. They'll have to come out of that. But there's going to be a lot of corn and soybeans and wheat for farmers to sell into. I mean, I can see us. I mean, someone asked me today, can you see, you know, a 10-cent rally, a 20-cent rally, and a 30-cent rally? 10 cents, definitely. 30 cents is difficult to get to. And, you know, on the, even on the 20, like to get a 20 cent rally right now in corn, it has to be a combo of a very good U.S.-China trade deal. We're trying to really start buying corn from us, and we lose, instead of 1 million acre, maybe 2 million acre in corn. And, you know, it stays wet and cold through most of the belt for way too long, right? Because it's not, I don't think we're going to have a hot and dry issue. And even then, it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be tough. Because farmers are going to sell into it. And we're still going to have some pretty large global stocks and U.S. stocks. So I still like the straddles. Today, for anyone who was still wanting to catch up on sales with farmers, we were selling March 2020 corn for over, you know, any time over $4. You know, March corn could go to 410 or 415 on some, you know, if we get the big rally. But, you know, if you're undersold and you have, you know, and you're worried about, you know, we got to get something on the books, I'd rather do it in March 2020 because you're going to have 40 cents a carry built in, right? I mean, might as well use that to your advantage. And as the markets chop up and down, you're doing marketing with your old crop or your other new crop, I mean, that position is going to do well. So or actually I should say is that position over time, the carry is going in your favor, right? If we went to $5, don't think we will. If we went to $5, the position itself wouldn't do well. But over the course of time between the basis and the cash price and the future sale, you would capture most likely 30, 40, maybe even 50 cents on that differential. And again, that's for farmers. That's not for spec traders. That works in your favor if you actually have the grain in storage or it's in the field. So I like that. If soybeans, you got to think, here's the thing with corn too. Old crop's going to be 2 billion and new crop is going to be like 2.4 billion. It's not bullish corn. If new crop is over $4, based on those fundamentals, it's probably a sell, right? You would think if at a 2 billion old crop carryout, you're around 350, 360 in the front month, and then if new crop's going to be 2.4 billion or something like that, then you're going to be sub 350 at harvest next year, or next at the end of the season. And here we are, you know, Dece has been around 390, and March has been around $4. So, you know, to me, there's not some of that could be weather premium, but a lot of it is just the carry. Same with soybeans. Hard to, you know, with the 800 million carryout, and even with, we'll probably add on some acres, and even with the China deal, I mean, you got to think about it this way. Let's say China ends up buying, they used to buy 1 billion bushels of soybeans us from a year. Let's say they buy 2 billion. You know, that's about what we export a year, maybe a little bit more. Who else will be buying from the United States at that point? I don't think a whole lot. I think, you know, maybe people regionally where the transportation costs are lower, so like Mexico maybe. But anyone else would probably go to South America, I would think, if they don't have to buy from us or it's not part of some trade agreement. And the world ending stocks are very large with beans, which they should be. China may be the United States' really only customer instead of just, you know, the biggest one who buys half of them. You know, China can turn into the biggest customer that buys almost 100% of the beans, and, you know, everyone else goes down to South America, and we're still only at a $2 billion export. So I think that's the concern. We'll see what the details are. Some people say, how low can beans go? We can go back to the lows, you know, of when, you know, the tariffs were first announced. That's the lows. And with corn, you could probably, if we have a 2.4 billion carryout, we'd probably go back to lows of a couple of years ago when, you know, we were in the, I don't know, 330, like 330 area, I want to say, at harvest. That, you know, when we came to the delivery pressure and first notice day. So that's the risk. That is definitely the risk. So if you're a spec trader, you're probably selling the rallies or riding straddles, I would think. And then for the farmers, I would think you'd have to sell into the rallies and marketing, you know, in the further months, you know, to capture some carry. That really, unfortunately, looks like the ag story. When it changes, it'll change. But for now, I think you got to make sales. You can always buy some cheap calls for buybacks. But I think, you know, after the U.S.-China deal, what is bullish for the grain markets right now? As far as livestock goes, that is a little bit more bullish for the hog market. I mean, China's loss is probably the United States' gain in terms of demand for pork. So that's got to be still seen as a net positive and probably a long-term driver, at least medium-term, if not long-term driver for the hog market. Cattle, we do have a lot of cattle. There's a lot of cattle coming to the market. We should see some spillover demand, you know, from China. You know, and China will need to buy protein. That's not going to last forever either. So hogs will be the leader. Cattle will go up, and hogs and cattle will have cheap feed, you know, to feed these animals. I do like the July. I've been buying July call spreads and hogs. You know, for the cattle, it's the deferred months. I just want to remind everyone too. You know, when I used to say a lot, you know, when you're going to get bullish in market, you can bull spread it in the futures. Do not do that with cattle and hogs. Please do not do that. It could work out, but the money is going in. The money flow and the speculation and the commercials are going into the back end of the curve because no one's expecting that Chinese demand to happen right now for the meats, but they are really expecting it to come in the latter half of 2018, 19, marketing year, so 2019, and it's just gonna. So a bull spread wouldn't work in this situation because the front month would keep on losing out, which is interesting, you know, which is different. But we have a very, you know, this isn't front month demand driven, cash market demand driven. This is expectations of some pretty serious demand coming from China as they sort out their, basically their protein shock over there. So you can buy the futures, you can get in bull call spreads on the option side. But if you're going to do in the future side, this is going to sound a little strange. You want a bear spread. You want to be long the deferreds and short the front month. So that's an anomaly right there. Finally, the energy markets and crude. I think the crude spreads are good day in swing trader markets. You know, with the economy doing better, crude will be supported. I think 2018, United States consumed more energy than previously reported. So that's a new high. We still have sanctions in Iran and Venezuela. You know, at some point, OPEC will announce they will, you know, because they've been cutting crude. They've been keeping production a little bit lower than normal. They'll eventually lift those restrictions and pump more. So that'll be a little bit of a bearish effect. The growth and the 2% growth in the United States and the eventual trade deal will be bullish. And I just think, you know, crude into the mid-50s to high 60s is kind of where we're going to live. So I was going to look at, you know, that's a pretty wide range, even for a mini contract. So I'll be looking at the future spreads. You know, I like the Augustis, probably selling the rallies. If we really break down below by par, we'll buy it back up. But if we can get, you know, a dollar over, probably looking to sell it. I mean, just take a look at the, and whatever range, I'll be talking about that specifically. That's just some ideas we're kicking around. But I'll talk about Turner's Take Market Alert. But it looks like to me crude oil is going to be a nice swing and position trading range spread. For the, you know, for the foreseeable future here, and that is how we're going to play the energy market. So Friday we're closed. I wish I could be more bullish on the grain markets. I'm sure we'll get a rally at some point, but those, unless something fundamentally really changes the market, those rallies are probably going to be selling opportunities. The hogs look like the most bullish market right now in the ag, in the agricultural center. And crude, to me, I think feels range-bound. And that is how we're going to approach our trading. And also, I really like the stock market kind of as a slow grind here, trade. And I love the fact that we're going to have a micro, which is going to make that easier to trade. So if you have any questions about the micro contracts, how to trade with DT Pro, how to use our services, our many newsletters, please contact me. Again, this is Craig Turner with Daniel's Trading and Turner's Take. All my contact information is in the show notes. If you like this podcast, please give it a positive rating on iTunes. It helps people find the show, and feel free to contact me anytime. All right, everyone have a great holiday weekend. Happy Easter. I will talk to you all next week. Oh, and one final note. You may not notice this. Hopefully you will not. But we are switching technology platform systems for newsletters. So over the course of the next week, hopefully it's seamless and no one misses a newsletter, you know, from me. But if next week happens and you don't hear from me, it's not because I'm not putting anything out, there is a chance maybe it got dropped from the list. So I don't think that'll happen, but we are doing a major back-end technology revamp here with the newsletters, and that is going to happen next week. So again, if there's some kind of hiccup, you get something late, you don't see one, that's what's going on. I'm not anticipating any issues, but I was told to just let everyone know there is something going on in the back end here. We're going to use different systems, and it'll be good. We'll be able to incorporate some of the products that we do a little bit better. So, again, have a great week, everyone, and you will hear from me next week. I'll definitely be writing and putting out the podcast. All right. Have a good one.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation termination or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.